Let somebody shout hallelujah.
Are you ready for the most anticipated event of the year? A gathering of worshippers and saints from around the globe, coming together with one heart and with one voice to seek the face of the Lord. The Festival of Life Middle East 2016 is here again, live from the United Arab Emirates, with the theme, Right Hand of Power. Date is Friday, October 28, 2016. Ministering Pastor E.A. Adeboye, General Overseer, the Redeemed Christian Church of God, and other anointed ministers of the Gospel. Venue is the Sheikh Hamdan Sports Complex, Dubai. Transportation will be available at designated points across the UAE to this venue. Get ready for an unprecedented experience of worship and praise, featuring Nathaniel Bassi, Gabriel Izyashi, Funke Akiokun, Tosin B, Michael Akimbala, and other anointed gospel music artists. There is about to be a shift.
Let somebody shout hallelujah.
Visit festivaloflifemiddleeast.org to register for free now and share our social media updates with your friends and family. Jesus is Lord.
Bless the King of Kings, bless the Lord of Lords, bless the Ancient of Days, magnify His holy name. He's worthy to be praised. Praise Him. Praise the Almighty God. Give Him glory, give Him honor. For life, for strength, for joy in the Holy Spirit, praise Him. Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him adoration. Bless the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Magnify His holy name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we worship. Now I want you to lift your voice to Him and say, Father, please do something special in my life tonight. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Please do something special, something very, very special in my life. Tonight, please, Lord, do something special in my life tonight. Oh, Almighty God, please do something special in my life tonight. Yes, Lord, do something special in my life tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Please join your hands together with your neighbor. We're going to apply the law of harvest, that what you sow is what you reap. So you're going to pray for your neighbor and say, Father. Let him hear you loud and clear. Father, let this be a night that my neighbor will never forget. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Almighty God, let this be a night none of your children here will ever forget. Let it be a night that they will never, never, never forget. Thank you, my Father. Let it be a night that they will live to remember for the rest of their lives. Let this be the night that the tide turned in their favor. Let it be the night their joy begins. Let it be a night they will never, never forget. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. Amen. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. Jesus, we give you all the glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor.
Savior,
we give you all the glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor.
Be thou.
We give you all the glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor.
Ancient of Days, we give you all the glory. Alpha and Omega, we give you all the glory. The beginning and the end, we give you all the glory. Thank you for what you started 20 years ago. Thank you for the thousands of souls that have been saved. Thank you for the thousands that you have healed. Thank you, Lord, for the countless that you have set free. Thank you for the marvelous testimonies we have heard. Thank you for life. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength. Thank you for provision. Thank you for the joy that has been our strength all along. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Eternal Rock of Ages, tonight, in the life of every one of us here, do something remarkable. Do something mighty. Please do something glorious. Do something divine. Do something we will never forget. Father, we are not praying for those who are here alone. We are praying for all those who are watching us all over the world. All those at the various viewing centers, those who are watching by television, those who are watching by the internet, those who are listening by radio, all over the world, Father, let this be a moment they will never forget. At the end of it all, let your name be glorified. Please, Lord, heal this land. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Now I want you to shake hands with your neighbor and say, neighbor, I love you. But tonight, my miracle will be bigger than yours.
And then if you believe that, shout a big hallelujah. And then you may please be seated. I just want to thank the Almighty God for all he had done this past 20 years. It's amazing that 20 years have passed, and I thank God for his faithfulness. I wish I have all the time to mention all the people I should thank tonight for their support, for their encouragement, for standing by us all these years. I want to thank all the great ministers of God who are here, and other people from other ministries. I want to thank my wife from the bottom of my heart. Probably apart from my salvation, the greatest thing that happened to me is that I got married to this woman. It's not a joking matter to be married for 49 years and still be on honeymoon. So I know my own honeymoon is not going to end, it's going to continue. And I pray for all of you that the Almighty God who has made my home, heaven on earth, will do the same thing for you. I want to thank all the pastors, all the workers who had helped me one way or the other. Just see you alone is an encouragement. I want to thank God for those who have been with us from the number one, who are still with us now. I want to thank God for those who were with us at the beginning, but who are no longer with us, but are still in the Lord. I am particularly happy that Pastor Obagun is here tonight, Kunle Obagun, because he started the first Festival of Life here. Before then, God had used him mightily to conduct Holy Ghost services in several places in Nigeria, in Akure, in Port Harcourt, and some other places before he came here to do the first Festival of Life. I want to thank God for Pastor Kunle Ajayi. He's part and parcel of my family, but some of you might not know the real impact that that young man had had on my ministry. There was a time we went to hold a Holy Ghost rally in Haiti, and for one reason or the other, we were given a tough time getting visa to go to Haiti. In America. By the time we arrived, the program had started. And so I was worn out, completely worn out. But then when Kunle began to sing with the saxophone, it's like in the book of Second Kings, as the minstrel played, the hand of God came. And that's why I've been going with him everywhere I go since that time. And I thank God for you, because without you, there's nobody to preach to, nobody to minister to. I want you to say, like one of my children used to say, thank God for me. You better say it loud and clear. I think that should cover everybody. Amen. Now, how many of you are attending Festival of Life for the first time? Oh, I see. Let me hear you shout hallelujah. Good. There are many of you. So I will need to explain very quickly
what we do so that you'll be able to flow along with us. I know I don't have much time left because there have been a wonderful time of praise and worship before I came on. Whenever God wants to address a congregation, no matter how large, he addresses himself to individuals. So you may suddenly hear there is someone here, and at the end of the day, that someone might be 1,000 or more. Don't think we have made a mistake. That's the way God speaks. For example, he says in Revelation 3 verse 20, he was talking to a whole congregation, and he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice." He was talking to a congregation, but he said to every man. Or John 3:16, "For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever," one person, individual. So if you hear there's someone here, and then at the end of the day you discover this someone is more than one, that's not a mistake at all. For example, there's someone here tonight who will never weep again. Now, where is that someone? If you are the one, shout hallelujah. Now, secondly, the Holy Spirit flows like a river. Jesus Christ said, "If you believe in me, then out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." And the Bible said by that he meant the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost flows like a river. And those of us who came from villages, and not be people like that here, but some of you came from villages before you came here and you started looking as if you don't know what a village is anymore. Whenever we need water, we go to the village stream to fetch water. And whenever it is your turn to dip in your bucket or your calabash to bring out water, if you hesitate, the river won't wait for you. It flows on. So if tonight you doze up, when God mentions your case, and then you hear somebody sitting next to you say amen, and then you wake up and say, "What did he say?" By that time, it will be too late. So tell your neighbor, you are not here to doze. All right. The third thing we need to note is this. In many nations of the world, at least some nations, not many, some nations of the world, they have these restaurants where everybody will pay the same amount to go in, and then they ask you to eat all you can. I won't tell you what happened the first time I went to such a restaurant in America. But then they will set before you tables, and there'll be chicken, there'll be beef, there'll be fish, there'll be all manners of food. And then they ask you to eat all you can. And then you find some people who will come in there and take one little chicken, one tiny spoon of salad, and one tiny spoon of rice. And I always look at them and say, "Why are these people here?" Because when I go to such a restaurant, by the time I leave, they will know somebody had visited them. The way you are laughing, it shows you know what I'm talking about. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is that tonight God has spread a table before you. On the table there is salvation. There is healing. There is deliverance. There is joy. There are miracles. There are signs and wonders. Now, how much of it do you want? Oh, okay. Now we are flowing. Finally, you need to know that anyone who got a miracle from God, from the record we find in the scriptures, got it by faith. When somebody comes to Jesus Christ and asks for help, he will ask the fellow, do you believe I can do this thing? If you say, yes, I believe, then he may turn to you and say, be it unto you according to your faith. Or he may say, your faith has made thee whole. I want to assure you, God is here tonight. And he's the one who gave me the theme for tonight, that it will be a night to remember. So you can be sure he's ready for you. By the grace of God, I am ready. The question is, when do you want your miracle? Are you sure? All right then. Let me hear you shout just one more hallelujah to me. Very good. So let's go very quickly. The sermon tonight is going to be in two parts. The first part, we will do a very quick Bible study of A Night to Remember. We'll have the altar call to allow our new brothers and sisters to join us. And then the second part will be the intensive one, when we are going to do some very serious prayers. When we get to that part, I will let you know. But in the meantime, if you open your Bibles to Psalm 30, I will read from verse 1 to 5. Psalm 30, from verse 1 to 5. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Who is the Bible talking about here? It must be me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's somebody here tonight, by the time it is tomorrow morning, you will be singing for joy. Now, if you are the one, let your amen show that you are the one. According to Psalm 74, verse 16, Psalm 74, verse 16, day and night belongs to God. In other words, when we speak of a night to remember, it could easily mean a day to remember, as far as God is concerned. Now, why is it like that? Right now, as I'm speaking to you, many of my children are glued to their television, their computers, or their viewing board at various viewing centers in Australia. It is night here, but it's day over there. So when we are talking about a night to remember, to them it will be a day to remember. Okay, so now, so I want you to get that point clear as we continue. So whatever it is on for you, those of you who are listening, whether it is a night or a day to remember, all I know is that as the Lord lives, within the next 1 hour, something is going to happen in your life that you will never, never forget. If you believe that, let your amen be loud and clear. I'm going to select just a few cases in the scriptures, because there are so many of them and it was not quite easy knowing which one to select. Starting from Genesis and running quickly through the scriptures to show you some nights or days that can never be forgotten. Let's start from Genesis chapter 18. From verse 1 to 14, Genesis 18, verse 1 to 14. You know the story. Abraham woke up early in the morning, sat in front of his tent, and all of a sudden he saw three men passing by. When they got to the front of his tent, they waited briefly. And he ran forward to go and meet them and said, "Please don't go. Come to my house. Come and drink some water. Come and eat some food." And they agreed. And they came. He fed them. When they finished eating, they asked him, "Where is Sarah, thy wife?" He said, "Oh, she's behind the tent." And then the leader of the team, by now, Abraham must have recognized that these are not ordinary men, said to him, "Within the next 1 year, Sarah will have a son." Sarah heard and laughed. And God said, "Sarah, why are you laughing? Is anything too difficult for God?" He said, "Keep laughing, because in any case, I've already spoken and it's already done." That first example, so many things happened that day that made it a day never to be forgotten. And I believe many of them will happen in your life today. The first one is that God did something new. He did something that had never been done before. What was it? God, who had said that he doesn't eat man's food, on that day, never to be forgotten, ate human food. He did something new. That's why I am sure, beyond all doubt, that there is someone here today, the kind of miracles you have never experienced before, you are going to experience it tonight. You see, because God said in Isaiah 43 verse 19, he said, "Behold, I do a new thing." Tonight he will do something new, so that when we are asking you in future to share your testimony, you will say, "I've been hearing of miracles, but on this particular night, I got my own." So shall it be in Jesus' name. Now, apart from doing something new, something he's never done before, he brought the dead back to life. Because the Bible tells us later on in Romans chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, Romans 4, 18 and 19, that when he was describing the faith of Abraham, he said Abraham didn't shake when God made that special promise, that he didn't consider his body now dead because he was 100. Neither did he consider the deadness of the womb of Sarah. And I believe God is already talking to someone. He's already telling you that what doctors say is already too late. The Almighty God is going to tell doctors, "I am the original doctor." That day, he changed prophecy to a decree. Because before that day, he had been prophesying to Abraham. "Abraham, yes, Lord, you will be the father of many nations." "Yes, Lord." "Abraham, can you count the stars?" "No, Lord." "So shall your seed be." "Yes, Lord." But it had been prophecy all along. And the prophecy had been there for some 25 years. But that particular day, God changed prophecy to a decree. He didn't say it shall be. He simply said, "Now let's give it a time limit." I have good news for someone here tonight. As the Lord lives, all the prophecies that you had ever heard concerning you shall be fulfilled tonight. And then he did something else. He overruled the doubts of Sarah just to prove his almightiness. Oh yes, I'm general overseer, but let me tell you the truth. There are occasions where God will make a promise and it will even shake my own faith. Can this be? Can this be? But when God wants to show his almightiness, he will ignore your doubt. And there's somebody here tonight, it doesn't matter how weak your faith may be, hear the word of the Lord. That which you want from the Almighty God, he will do for you tonight. And you know, probably one of the best things that happened that first day to be remembered is that he replaced years of sorrow with joy unending. The moment Sarah began to laugh that day, she kept on laughing for the rest of her life. You know, I said something that sounded like a joke to some of you at the beginning, but please, tonight, take every word seriously. I said it as if I'm just trying to illustrate a point, but I really mean it, that there is someone here tonight who will never weep again. God reserved the ability to end your years of sorrow. And it will be done tonight. During the last Holy Ghost service we had in Nigeria, those of you who followed on the internet, it wasn't it was the one in September. Some people came to testify, because it was a special Holy Ghost service for those who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb. So we said, let's hear from those who had trusted the Lord and God had answered them. And it was as if by divine arrangement, he brought special cases forward. The first one to testify said, I have been barren for 16 years, then God answered me. We were still rejoicing when the next fellow said, I was barren for 25 years. And God answered me. We were still praising God when the next one says, I have been barren for 33 years. And God answered me. I hereby decree tonight, it does not matter how long your sorrow had been, it will end tonight in Jesus' name. And let me go to example number 2. Genesis chapter 41. You can read the whole story when you get home from verse 1 to 44. Genesis 41, 1 to 44. Pharaoh had two dreams. Two dreams in one night. When he woke up, he remembered the dreams, but he couldn't get the interpretation, and the dreams were very frightening. And I believe God wants me to say to someone straight away, even before I continue, that the fellow God we use to help you will have a strange dream tonight. So when Pharaoh woke up, thank you, Father. What I have just decreed, Daddy says, I have already stamped it. So get ready, somebody very important is going to send for you. I tell you, I had a dream, and I interpret that dream to me, I must help you. Anyway, so Pharaoh had these two dreams, he couldn't interpret them, and then he got all the wise men together, and somebody suddenly said, there is a boy in prison who is a very good dream interpreter. And by the time that day was over, a prisoner became a prime minister. There's good news for someone here today. Your destiny will be fulfilled. Several things happened that day. Number one, the one who had been forgotten was remembered. Practically everybody had forgotten Joseph in prison. It looks as if that was where he was going to end his life, but suddenly, when that day came, Somebody remembered him. The Almighty God is going to remember you tonight. And like I shared with some of my children last Sunday, in Genesis chapter 30, verse 22 to 24, Genesis 30, verse 22 to 24, we discover that whenever God remembers someone, several things will follow. One of the things that will follow is that the womb will be opened. And I explained to them that when we talk about womb, we are not just talking about the womb that you have in your belly, even though that is important. We are also talking about your mental womb. We are talking about your career womb. We are talking about ministerial womb. Because the womb is nothing other than that which makes you to increase, that which makes you to become fruitful, that which makes you to multiply. So if your womb has been closed, whichever it is, in the name that's above every other name, that womb will be opened today. Because when God remembered Rachel, he opened her womb, and Rachel said, God has taken away my reproach. Whenever God remembers you, your reproach will be taken away. And whatever may be the reproach in your life, whatever it is that, like Naaman, when they say, oh, he was successful in this, he was successful in that, but whatever is the but in your life, the Almighty God will take away today. And then in the case of Joseph, the destiny that God had told him about, see, this is what you are going to become. You're going to be a ruler. People will come and bow down to you. The day God remembered, the destiny became confirmed. I have good news for someone here, somebody who had known all along that he wasn't born to be ordinary. Somebody who had known that he was created for a special purpose, that the seed of greatness is in him or her. In the name that's above every other name, even before the end of this year, they are the evidence of the fulfillment of your destiny. Let me go on because of time. Let me go on to example number 3. Thank you, Father. Daddy says, there's someone here tonight, and please listen carefully. He said, Joshua heard my voice, and he was catapulted from being a servant to a leader. Whoever you are, God asked me to tell you, you will hear from him tonight. Thank you, Daddy. I expect this to be a special night. When the Almighty God asked me to tell someone, he said, stop worrying. I will take care of the problems in your chest. I'm sure the fellow concerned knows. Now, Exodus chapter 12. Verse 30 to 36. Exodus 12, verse 30 to 36. That was another night to remember. That was the night that the Almighty God passed through the land of Egypt, killed all the firstborn of Pharaoh, so that Pharaoh had to send the children of Israel away hurriedly. That night, several things happened. I wish we have time to take all of them one by one, but let me just mention a few. Number one, everyone was healed that night. The Bible says in Psalm 105, verse 37, Psalm 105, verse 37, it said when God was sending them out, there was not a single feeble one among them. And I'm particularly trusting God that particular aspect of miracle will happen here tonight. He had asked me, how many people do you want healed tonight? I have told him, Daddy, I don't want to give you a number. And he said, why not? I said, because I don't know how many people are coming. He said, what has that got to do with the number you want healed? I said, because I want everyone who will come to be healed. Everyone. And if you would please join your faith with mine. If you will say amen like we've never said it before. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. You see, because the very origin of the Holy Ghost service is a discussion like that between God and a small boy like me. I'm sure you heard the story. I was here in London preparing the Sunday school manual for our church, and it was around the time of my birthday was drawing near, when all of a sudden, I wasn't praying, I was just writing, when I heard God say, son, what will you want for your birthday? And I was shocked, because up to that moment, I didn't know God would be interested in birthdays. And if he's interested in birthdays, I didn't think he would be interested in the birthday of a small boy like me. So I asked him, Father, please forgive me, but if that is you, could you repeat the question? And he repeated the question. He said, it's me. What do you want for your birthday? And I said, all I want is that every member of my congregation will get a miracle. And he said, is that all? I said, that's all I want. And he said, when you get back home, gather them together. That was some 30-something years ago now. I got home, gathered the people together, and it was a week-long program, and it's a week never to be forgotten. That was the beginning of what we have. So if on an anniversary night like this, he asked me, how many people do you want healed? And I say, everybody. And if you say, so let it be, which is the amen you have just said, I believe we can have it. How many of you want everybody to be healed? Please say amen one more time. On that night in Exodus chapter 12, every sick person was healed. And there was massive transfer of wealth. A lot of money in the hands of the Egyptians was transferred into the hands of the children of Israel in a single night. You know, the Bible says clearly, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, Proverbs 13, verse 22, that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Now, like I was telling my children before I left home, I said, don't let anybody tell you that there's no money. There's plenty of money everywhere. It is just that it is in the wrong hands. And it is time that the rightful owner should pick up the money. How many of you want a share of the wealth of the world? May I decree to you, in the name that's above every other name, that by the next time I hear from you, financial problems will be forgotten. In that night, in Exodus chapter 12, not only is it that the one who had been cursed became a blessed person, even the one who used to torture him asked him to please pray for me, bless me also. I'm believing God that tonight, in the miraculous way, in the way only God can do it, you will become a blessing. And the summary of what happened that night in Exodus chapter 12 was that generational bondage came to an end. You see, these people have been in bondage for more than 400 years. But in a single night, they became free. There was one interesting testimony we had in New York in June when we had the Holy Ghost service there. And one young man was testifying as to what God did in one of the meetings like this that he attended. That in his family, whenever the wife becomes pregnant with a boy, the husband of that woman will die before the boy was born. There was never a boy born that met his father alive. And he has just got married. And then all of a sudden the word came and said, the curse in your family is over. I'm happy she said amen to that. Because the boy said, he jumped up and grabbed it because he was worried. Suppose my wife become pregnant and it's a baby boy, then it means I'm gone. The day he was sharing his testimony, he said he waited to be sure that he really got what he said amen to. The day he was sharing his testimony, he was on stage with four children. The first is a boy, the second is a boy, the third is a boy. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The Lord said there's someone here today. He said, the one who is trying to destroy you will one day come and thank God that he failed. So shall we go on to another one? Exodus 14. This is interesting. The Lord said, there's a man here. He said, you will understand. He asked me to tell you, I will revive your manhood. It's not the man alone who should say amen. I think the wife should say amen along with him. But I don't say it too loud, so they don't know. Exodus 14, verse 1 to 28. You know the story. The children of Israel thought that they were free. They were on their way to the promised land. Then they suddenly came by the side of the Red Sea. And when they looked back, they discovered that Pharaoh was coming with all his hosts. It looks as if their joy was about to be cut short. But before the night was over, the enemy they saw, they never saw again. May I pray for somebody here today that your freedom will be permanent? That night in Exodus 14, several things again happened. Just mention a few of them. Number one, there was a way where there was no way before. Because nobody had ever walked through the belly of the Red Sea before. But on that day, there was a way where there was no way before. And I have good news for someone that I've been told by the Home Office that there is no way for you. As the Lord lives, by the next time I hear from you, they will say there is a way. That night in Exodus chapter 14, not only was there a way where there was no way before, after all, God said in Isaiah 43 verse 19, Psalm 43 verse 19, that he will make a way in the wilderness. But the pursuers who were pursuing the children of Israel drowned. The meaning of that is that on that very special night, God puts an end to pursuing forces. There are some of us who are here in Europe because some people were pursuing us in our hometown. We pretend that we don't know what I'm talking about. But all I'm saying tonight is that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, all those enemies that have been saying, we won't let you go, in the name that's above every other name, you won't even hear about them anymore. You see, because God promised in Isaiah 41, verse 10 to 13, Isaiah 41, 10 to 13, he said, don't be afraid, I will help you. He said, those who are incensed against you will be as nothing. You will seek for them and you will not find them. So shall it be in Jesus' name. And so that night there was a permanent break with the past. That day, Israel knew once and for all, the past is gone. And if there is anyone here that your past has been tormenting you, in the name that's above every other name, today there be a clean break between you and your past. Now, thank you, Father. The Almighty says that tonight he will deal vigorously with cancer. Please join me in giving him a big round of applause. Now, that night in Exodus 14, fear changes to a song of triumph. That night, the children of Israel were afraid when they saw the army behind them. But by the following morning, just like the text we read, they were singing for joy. I'm believing God for every one of us here. Even as the sun is rising tomorrow, you will already be singing for joy. Then, let's move on to another example. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11 to 13. Thank you, Father. The Lord said there's someone here tonight who said, if God doesn't answer me today, then I know he doesn't want to answer. Well, he asked me to tell you, I've already answered. He said he has already answered you. 1 Samuel 16, verse 11 to 13. Again, tells us the story of a young man by the name David. When he woke up that morning, he was a shepherd boy. By the time he was lying on his bed that night, with oil still fresh on his head, he knew that he can never possibly forget that day. So many things happened that day too, in 1 Samuel 16. First of all, the yoke of loneliness was destroyed once and for all. David was a lonely boy, alone in the field. All the brothers were at home. You know the story. But from that day on, he was never lonely again. Never. And I believe that's a great word for someone here. I would want to believe God with you, that even before the end of this year, there will be abundant evidence that your loneliness is over. That day in 1 Samuel 16, The promotion of a shepherd boy to a king definitely is what we will call extraordinary promotion. And I'm believing God. This is one of the things that I would love the Almighty God to do for every one of us who are here. That beginning from tonight, your promotion, physical, your promotion, material, your promotion, spiritual, will be accelerated. And then you know that from that day onward, David became unstoppable. A lion couldn't stop him. A bear couldn't stop him. Goliath couldn't stop him. Even the king, King Saul on the throne, couldn't stop him. I'm believing God for you today that anytime anybody tries to put an obstacle in your way, it will become a stepping stone to glory. Forgive me if I seem to be hurrying. It's simply because this one we are still just doing preliminary. We will soon get to the deeper ones. Then, from that day onward, it was not long after that according to 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2, that those who rejected David became his servants. Because when he landed in the cave of Adullam, it's not only wretched people who came to join themselves together with him. Even his brothers, those big boys who thought that David can never amount to anything, they came and joined themselves to him, and the Bible said he became captain over them. I have good news for someone. All those who thought you would never become anything, one day we bow down before you. And then let me move to the New Testament very quickly in Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 39. Acts 16, verse 25 to 39. Thank you, Father. The Lord says there's someone here that your bladder is overactive and has caused you a lot of embarrassment. He asked me to tell you he has given you a brand new one. I wish all these people would be able to testify, even though we don't have time tonight. But the Lord says there's someone here, there's a woman here, that suddenly you feel a cold sensation in your stomach. It's as if somebody poured ice water inside of you. He asked me to tell you, is the one cooling down your womb that is too hot to produce a baby. He asked me to assure you, your joy is on the way. Thank you, Daddy. Now, in Acts 16, verse 25 to 39, it's a story you know very well. Acts 16, 25 to 39, that was when Paul and Silas were imprisoned, and they were singing and they were praising God, and suddenly there was an earthquake, and the prison doors were flung open, and their chains were plucked asunder, and then by the following morning, those who put them into prison came to beg them to leave. In that night, several things happened. Number one, God visited. And God is going to visit somebody tonight. Prison doors were opened. And I decree in the name that's above every other name that any door that has been shut against you shall be forced open tonight. Bonds were loosed. You know, occasionally you find that some people, no matter how good a trade is, the moment they go in that direction, they will fail. Unknown to them, there are spiritual forces binding their hands. Now, if there are forces binding your hands, those forces will be scattered tonight. Then there are some people, you no matter how hard they struggle, they just can't seem to move forward because there are certain forces binding their legs. I am decreeing the name that's above every other name. Any force binding your legs, holding you down, will be destroyed tonight in Jesus' name. But the part that I love in that particular situation in Acts 16, verse 25 to 39, was that the enemies came to beg. There's no victory as sweet as the enemy becoming your footstool. When those people who put you in prison come to say, "Sorry, sir." When those who said you would never go forward come to say, "We are sorry, we are the one who have been disturbing you." To me, that's the most beautiful of all. That's why I said that we should not be too hasty in praying that God will destroy all our enemies. It would be better if he would just set a table before us in the presence of the enemies. I would like my enemies to see my glory. I would like those who said that I won't become anybody to come and say, "Please, sir, can we have some money for a car?" Something like that. I will want God, instead of just killing all of them, let them be around to see me becoming number one. Can you say amen to that? I'm sure you remember the story of a lady who came to me and said, "Sir, please help me. I don't know what to do. I've lost my husband to a woman. I fought with everything I had, but the other woman defeated me. I have 4 children from my husband, and he's packed out to go and live with a woman with 5 children, and none of the 5 is his own." I said, don't worry, we'll pray. Your husband will come back and beg." He said, "I'm not asking him to come to beg. I will beg him." I said, "No, let's pray." So we prayed. I said, "God will start a quarrel between your husband and the strange woman, a quarrel nobody will be able to settle." And I think I can hear 1 or 2 amen somewhere there. All right. And so shall it be. Anyway, some few days later, there was a quarrel. And during the quarrel, the strange woman said to this man, "Don't you know your head is not correct? Because if your head is correct, how can you leave your children at home, 4 children at home, and come and live with a woman with 5 children, and none of the children is yours?" And the man said, "That is true, you know." He said there must be something wrong with his head. So he packed his load, came back to his wife. When he knocked at the door and the wife opened the door, he prostrated, you know, the way we do it in Nigeria. And said, "Just take me." The wife said, "Please just come in." "You are more than welcome. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, those who are despising you will come and beg." But there's another beautiful thing that happened that night in Acts 16 that I'm believing God will happen here tonight. And that is that there was an earthquake as the people were praying. The ground shook. You know, it is possible to pray and get the ground to shake. I can tell you I've had at least 2 major experiences that I've talked about. I won't talk about the others, because some of my experiences, if I talk about them, people won't believe me. 1979. Myself, my father in the Lord, and 4 others. And by the grace of God, 1 of the 4 that happened to be here tonight,
He's sitting down here. His name is Pastor Lawal. So he can confirm my story if we want to find out from him. We were in an hotel called Mayo Hotel in Tulsa. We went to attend Kenneth Hagin camp meeting. It was the day my father in the Lord broke the news that I would be succeeding him. Broke the news among all of us there. And of course, it was a big shocker. He said he will soon be going away and I will be succeeding him. So we began to pray violently. The kind of prayer you'll be praying later on tonight. And suddenly there was a knock at the door of the room where we were gathered together praying. I was next to the door. So I opened the door and I saw the engineer of the hotel. He said, what are you people doing? I said, we are praying. He said, no. He said, what kind of instrument are you playing? We are not playing any instrument, we are praying. He didn't believe. He came in, he looked under the bed, he looked in the wardrobe, he was confused. When he got back to the door, before he closed the door, he looked at me again. He said, what do you say you are doing? I said, we are praying. So I asked him, I said, what's the problem? He said, because the hotel is shaking. And we have traced the source of the shaking to this room. This is a story you can verify. Do you know that after we left, after they check out every guest, they shut down that hotel for 30 years? Because they were looking for the cause of the shaking. It was after 30 years, I went visiting with my family, and I said, let me show you the hotel that shook. When I got there, and I saw that the hotel had not been reopened, I was moved by compassion. That is our prayer that has caused this problem. So I laid my hand on the wall, and I prayed a simple prayer. The following year, the hotel was reopened. You see, I'm believing God for you that this is a night you are going to pray and the ground is going to shake. You are going to get a personal earthquake tonight. And I'll tell you another story. I mean, we are here all night. Are we in a hurry? Go, thank you. Even if you are in a hurry, I won't let them open the door. Until God has done what he wants to do, I'm just joking. Another incident that I had when I prayed and the ground shook. I was walking about in the campground in Nigeria, crying to God. Almighty God, I have forsaken all to follow you. You know, I was a lecturer in the university. You called me to the ministry. I'm in the ministry. I don't want to be an ordinary pastor. I want you to endue me with power. I want to use the power to serve you. How can I do this work unless you supply the power? It was a little around between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. in the night, and all of a sudden, the ground shook under me. Those of you who know Redemption Camp and you know Shagamu and so and Jebu, they some several kilometers away, they felt the shaking because the windows hung, the pictures hung on the walls began to drop off. I'm believing God for someone tonight that God is going to give you a personal earthquake. If it's only to break all your yokes, if it's only to force open every door that has been shut against you, or if it's to empower you, like, thank God he empowered me, you are going to pray tonight and the ground is going to shake. Do I hear amen loud and clear? All right. Now,
let me take just one more example, and then I will finish with part A, so we will then be ready to move on to part B. That is in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Matthew 2. The Lord wants me to tell you a story. It's a testimony. Probably you've heard it before. There was a woman in Canada who had been bleeding profusely. Her own case wasn't ordinary issue of blood. It was a really terrible one. Whenever she was going out, she would go out with pads, about half a dozen of them, because as each one got wet, she would go into the toilet and change, and on and on. And I was preaching like this when God spoke to me and suddenly said, "The bleeding is over." And God said, "The fellow concerned will understand." When she heard that, she shook. Could it be me? So she ran to the toilet. Not only had the bleeding stopped, the last pad that she had used, even the blood that was there before, vanished. Now, the reason God is asking me to tell you that story now is because he said there's someone like that here tonight, and he asked me to tell you what he did in Canada, he will repeat here tonight. Thank you, Father. Now, where were we? Matthew chapter 2. Yes, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Oh, thank you, Father. The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said, the doctor said both kidneys are halfway gone. Your two kidneys, both of them, are diseased and they're halfway gone. The Lord asked me to tell you, go back to the doctor. He will tell you, you have two brand new kidneys. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Congratulations. I rejoice with you. Tells us the story of wise men. You know, those wise men who came seeking for Jesus. If we are to believe Bible scholars, they had traveled for almost 2 years. Finally, they saw the star that they have been following from the east, stopping over a house. And the Bible said, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. That night, which the wise men can never forget, several things happened. Number one, their search has come to a successful end. You know, the Almighty God said, if you seek me, you will find me. But there are some of us who have not just been seeking God for salvation, we'll be seeking him for several other things. I have good news for you. Your search will come to a successful end tonight. The Bible said the wise men, they rejoice with exceeding great joy. I was teaching my children not too long ago. I said, joy can be in categories. Joy, great joy, exceeding great joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory, and then fullness of joy. Well, whichever of the joy you want, you will have it tonight in Jesus' name. And why? Because those men met the Lord. They saw him face to face. There are several things I could say about seeing the Lord face to face, but some of them might even be above your head. Let me say this one. Probably I could explain why nobody can ever forget the day of their salvation if they were truly saved. Everything in my life changed dramatically for the better after I met the Lord. Whether you believe it or not, even though I was a sportsman, I was very sickly. Every two weeks, malaria fever would knock me down. Then I met the Lord. And I met the Lord that night, 29th of July, 1973. From 1973 till now, well, I've had two challenges. And if we have two challenges in 40-something years, that's not very bad. But none of it has to do with fever. My fever never came back. Before I met the Lord, I was as rotten as they come. You've heard my testimony before, those of you who have been here. I was so rotten that nobody would. If I were Jesus, I wouldn't save Adeboye. But thank God, he's not me. He saved my soul. And since he saved my soul, he's done so many things that it is difficult for me to begin to say them without sounding proud. And if there's anything he did, apart from healing me when I got born again, it was that he took away pride from me. If you knew me before I was born again, you wouldn't want to come near me at all. I was poor and proud. But then he took me and began to reshape my life. He changed everything. My home became heaven on earth. Everything I touch just seemed to prosper. Everywhere I go, I find favor with God, I find favor with men. When they say something is impossible, I don't want to hear the word impossible, because I gave my life to Jesus. When I begin to talk about the kind of miracles and signs and wonders that God had done, using an ordinary instrument like myself, some people look at me as if something must be wrong with you. But everything began the day I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I give some testimonies and people say, forget it, that can't be true. So some testimony now, I stop giving them. Because from the moment he saved my soul, there was a relationship that began that night. And that is beyond human understanding. And do you know what? What he did for me is willing to do for somebody here tonight. I mean, I can give you several examples. Today, if we want to talk about honors, I have 6 honorary doctorate degrees. Today, I'm an officer of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. I'm a commander of the Niger. I'm one of the centenarians of Nigeria, etc., etc., etc. Not a single one because I did mathematics. Everyone because I'm a pastor. Everything because I met the Lord Jesus Christ. So I can understand what the wise men felt. And I want to appeal to those of you who have wisdom, that you too will come and have an encounter with Jesus Christ tonight. Because he's the one who changed my life. He wants to change your life also. So I'm going to stop very briefly, because the prayers we are going to pray later are prayers for those who are already children of God, those who have already met Jesus Christ. That's why I divided the sermon into two. So if you are here and you say, I want to taste this Lord, I too want this night to be my own night of salvation. I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I want him to do for me what he has done for you. I am going to count from 1 to 10. Before I say 10, if you are one of those who want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, please come and stand before me. I will pray for your salvation, and your life will never be the same again. So I'm going to begin to count now. If you want to give your life to Jesus, don't wait for anyone. You might be the only one fellow that God has called this meeting for. Begin to run forward very quickly as I count. 1. Don't wait for anybody. You just begin to come. You know that you are the one God has been speaking to. And you know that you are the one whose life he wants to change completely today. So keep coming, keep coming. Keep running as you come. And thank you, those of you who are clapping for them. Keep clapping as they come. God bless you. God bless you. Keep coming, keep coming. Keep coming. Don't wait for your friends. They may not be the one that God is talking to. You might be the one. So you just come. You just come. Let's keep on encouraging them. Keep clapping. Come from all over the place. The Lord is waiting for you. 2. Hurry up. Hurry up. 3. Now if you are clapping for Jesus, please do it very well. That whatever your heart finds to do, make sure you do it with all your mind. 4. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Your hands will never be empty. Keep clapping. Whatever you touch will begin to prosper. Keep clapping for the Almighty God as he's bringing these people to himself. 5. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. And those of you, I can see some of you very far away. Hurry up, hurry up. I want you to get here before it is long. 6. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Keep coming, keep coming. This is your night, this is your own night. Your own night of decision, your own night of salvation. Now you people are clapping like Europeans. Clap like Christians. Clap with all your might. Keep coming. 7. 7. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. I can see you. Keep coming. This is your day. This is your day. Keep coming. Keep coming. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Keep encouraging them, please. Keep clapping. 8. Hurry up. There will never be another night like this in your life. This is your night of a new beginning. From the moment you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, things will change for the better. Everything will become new. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. And keep clapping. Yes, keep coming, please. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Make sure you get to the front before I finish praying, because I must pray now. Hurry up. Thank you, Jesus. 9. Now you have to move a little faster. Okay, that's right. You have to run now. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Keep coming. Thank you, Jesus. Keep coming. Yeah, wait 10 seconds for you. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you are on the way, make sure you get here before I finish praying. Those of you who are already in front, you talk to the Almighty God and say, Father, I've come to surrender my life to you. Have mercy on me. Please save my soul, and I will serve you for the rest of my life. Go ahead, talk to him. And the rest of us, let's stretch our hands towards these people and intercede for them, that the one who had saved our souls will save their own souls also. Please pray for them, brethren. Pray for them. And those of you who are still on the way, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. It's not too late yet. Just make sure you get here before I finish praying. You're welcome. You're welcome, my brother. You're welcome, my sister. You're welcome. Keep coming. Keep coming. Please, counselors, don't block the aisle. Keep the aisle open. There are people coming behind you. Just let them keep coming. Keep coming. Hurry up, brother. Hurry up, sister. The Lord is still waiting for you. Brethren, for just one more minute, let's intercede for these people. Pray that the Almighty God, the one who saved your soul, will save their own souls also. Don't stop halfway. Come all the way. Come all the way. Yes, keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. I'll wait 5 seconds for you. Keep coming. Hurry up. Hurry up. Yes, God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. It's not too late yet. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Any other fellow that I can't see? All right. God bless you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father, I just want to thank you for your word. And I want to thank you for these people who have decided to surrender their life to you. Please remember your promise that whosoever will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. They've come to you now, Father. Please receive them in Jesus' name. Have mercy on them. Let your blood wash away their sins. Please save their souls and write their names in the book of life. And I'm praying, Lord God Almighty, that from tonight onward, anytime they call upon you, you will answer them by fire. And I pray that this will be a night they will never forget. Please, Lord, don't let them backslide. And I pray that in your kingdom, none of them will be missing. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And now those of you in front, let me hear you shout hallelujah. I'm rejoicing with you because from tonight onward, by the grace of God, I'll be praying for you. That's why I need your names, your address, and your prayer requests. That's why they gave you that card, which you are going to fill and return to the counselors. And I promise you, I'll be praying for you. Congratulations. So you can stand on your feet and you can turn to... Okay. They want you to turn to your right, which is my left, and follow that brother carrying a placard with FOL written on it. They will take you to where they will collect the information I need, and then they bring you back very quickly. Let's begin to go now. Let's give the Lord a big round of applause for all the souls that the Almighty God has rescued from hell. Come on, give the Lord a big round of applause. There's no miracle like salvation. Let's bless the name of the Lord. And there are hundreds of them. Let's bless the Lord. Let's do it. Let's do it with joy, brethren. Let's do it with excitement. Thank you, Father. Keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping. Thank you, Father. Now, we're going to give these people about 5 minutes to fill their forms and come back. Then it will be time to pray. And I'm going to lead you in this prayer, step by step. And I will be calling on you to stand to pray from time to time. But like I understand one lady said in the church that Daddy Gio had said that during a prayer meeting, old people are free to fall asleep. Yeah, that is true. I said, when I ask you to stand up to pray, I'm talking to youth. And the youth are those who are younger than I. We are younger than 74. When I say stand up to pray, you stand. If you are older than 74, you are free to sit down and pray. If you fall asleep, that's no problem, because old men shall dream dreams. But while we wait for these people, I want you to spend just the few minutes, 2-3 minutes, to thank the Almighty God that you are here. Because believe me honestly, the Almighty God is already dealing with your situation. So spend some few minutes now thanking Him while we wait for the people who have just given their life to Jesus to return. Go ahead, talk to the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now get ready. We are about to pray, and I will encourage you to pray with all your heart. Now, let me guide you. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 to 21, Daniel 2, 20 to 21, that the Almighty God controls times and seasons. Now, he measures time in years, months, weeks, days, and you know the rest, hours, minutes, seconds, etc. When he's talking about year, he's talking about what he calls the time of life. The implication of this is simply that some miracles require a year. For instance, when he said to Sarah, by this time of life, Sarah will have a son, you know that by the time a woman gets pregnant to the time she delivers, it's approximately 1 year. The same thing happens to Hannah. The same thing happened to Elizabeth, and so on and so forth. And when you also read Genesis 26, verse 12 to 14, the Bible says that Isaac sowed in the land, and he reaped in that year. Miracle took a year before he got a hundredfold. Some miracles take approximately 1 year. And I can tell you stories upon stories, but because we're running fast out of time, I'm going to ask you to pray your first prayer. And if I were you, I would pray every prayer I pray now with all my strength. So if you want to really pray, stand on your feet and shout hallelujah. And you lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, Before this year ends, let all my problems be over. Open your mouth and cry unto the Lord. And I'm asking you to open your mouth and pray. Before this year is over, let all my problems be over. And then tell them what the problems are. Almighty God, before this year is over, let all my problems be over. All my problems, let them be over. Before this year is over, all my problems, physical problems, material problems, marital problems, spiritual problems, career problems, before this year is over, Lord, let all my problems be over. All of them, without exception, before this year is over, let all my problems be over. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So God measures time in years, but he uses months to measure seasons. For example, Genesis 29, verse 14 to 19. Genesis 29, verse 14 to 19 tells us that some miracles require a month. Jacob had labored for his in-law for a whole month before he said, this boy should not be laboring in vain. Let's begin to pay him something. God can perform a miracle within a month. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, for example, Exodus 12, verse 1 to 2, when the children of Israel were going to leave Egypt, the preparation took a month before the miracle happened. And I've told you the story before. At least some of you have heard the story before. A daughter of mine that came to me and said, "Daddy, I'm pregnant." I said, "Congratulations," because she's married. He said, "That's not why I'm here." "Okay, why are you here?" He said, "The pregnancy is 3 months, and I want a girl." "It's a girl I want." I said, "Sir, my sister, my dear daughter, I'm not a medical doctor, but I read from a scientific journal that everything a baby is going to be is already settled within 72 hours of conception. At the time the conception is 72 hours, the baby, everything about the baby is already settled, whether it's going to be tall or short, fat or lean, dark eye or blue eye, everything is settled in 72 hours. Now you've been married, you've been pregnant 3 months, and you are talking about deciding the sex." He said, "But you are the one who said with God all things are possible." I said, "I know." I said, "Well," I said, "I'm not even asking you to perform the miracle. All I'm asking you to do is agree with me." I said, "That's no problem. I agree with you that it will be a girl." Well, 6 months later, the baby came, and it was a girl. Now, I know some people will say, "Maybe it was a girl all along." Okay. But then, another daughter of mine had the testimony. And she happens to be a medical doctor. And she's been pregnant for 8 months. And she came and said, "I've already got 4 girls. And the relatives of my husband said, if I don't give their son a boy, they are going to run me out of the house. I'm pregnant now, and it is clearly a girl. We've done the scanning, we've done everything, it's a girl. I want a boy." I said, "My daughter, you are a medical doctor. You should know better than that." He said, "We are not discussing medicine now. We're discussing God. And I had the testimony of the other fellow. All I'm asking you to do is agree with me." I said, "No problem. I agree with you that it will be a boy." A month later, the baby came, and it's a boy. And this month at the Holy Ghost service, we had 2 other cases of confirmed girls that became boy within a month. So I want you to stand on your feet, because a miracle can take just 1 month, and lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, "Father, come on, open your mouth. Father, before the end of this month, shout for joy." Open your mouth and cry to the Almighty God. Before the end of this month, let me shout for joy. Before the end of this month, before the end of this month of October 2016, before the end of this month, oh Lord, let me shout for joy. 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 Before the end of this month, October 2016, before
this month ends, let me shout for joy, O Lord. Let me shout for joy. Thank you, Father. Before the end of this month, Almighty God, I know you are the controller of time. You control time and season. Before the end of this month, before the end of this month, Lord, let me shout for joy. Let me shout for joy. Thank you, Almighty. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Then, there are some miracles that take only 1 week. Only 1 week. For example, if you read Joshua chapter 6, from verse 1 to the end, Joshua 6, when the Almighty God was going to pull down the wall of Jericho, he told Joshua, take your people, walk around the wall once a day for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, shout. Walk, go around 7 times and then shout and the wall will fall. Just 1 week. I can give you other examples. For example, Genesis chapter 7 verse 4. Genesis 7 verse 4. God gave the people just 1 week to move into the ark of Noah. All those who didn't take advantage of that 1 week, they perished. And God himself created the heaven and the earth in 1 week because he rested on the seventh day. You've had the testimony of that young boy that at the end of year we're having watch night program, and the word of God just came and said that there is someone in the crowd who was having a problem paying house rent, that in the new year he will become a landlord. You've heard the testimony. And he was the only one who said amen, because I mean, everybody thought, how can that be? I mean, in Lagos? It was a messenger. And then the new year came, just less than 1 week from the day. And he went to the office and saw the chairman of the company, fell down before him and greeted him, Happy New Year, sir. And that one looked at him and said, ah, messenger, Happy New Year. Have I given you any Christmas present? The boy said, no. Any New Year present? No. And the man said, well, Lagos State government was selling some flats. I bidded for one, and they gave me one, but I don't need it. Come and collect the keys. Gave him the keys, gave him the address. The boy went to the place expecting one small flat. Got there, it was a whole house. Put the key inside and the door opened. Can this be true? Went upstairs. I mean, so when he came back the following day, he didn't just lie down, he rolled before the chairman. And the chairman said, messenger, he said, sir, any furniture in the house? The boy said, no, sir. And the chairman said, well, I change my furniture every Christmas. The one of last Christmas, I still don't know where to put it. So he called one of the drivers and said, go and load this furniture and take it to this boy's house. 1 week. Stand on your feet. Lift your voice to the Almighty God. And say, before the end of 1 week, send help to me, O Lord. Open your mouth and pray. Before the end of 1 week. You better pray.
Before the end of 1 week, Lord, send help to me. Send help to me, Lord. Before the end of 1 week. Before the end of 1 week. Send help to me, Lord. Send help to me. Send help to me. Send help to me. Before the end of 1 week, Lord, send help to me. Thank you, Father. Before the end of 1 week, I know you can do it, Lord. Just send help to me. Send help to me, Almighty God. Before the end of 1 week, send help to me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. But do you know that some miracles require only one day? Only one day. In 2 Kings chapter 7. Oh, thank you, Father. I want to say amen to this one before I tell you. Almighty asked me to tell someone here, he said, long before the end of this year, you will get more help than you need. Now, some miracles require only one day. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 to 11. 2 Kings 7, verse 1 to 11. The Bible tells us that things were so bad in Samaria that women were eating their children. That's bad, bad. But the man of God spoke and said, within 24 hours, that there'll be more food than anybody could eat. You know the story. Within 24 hours, it happened. You see, some miracles just must come on a particular day or it will be too late. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 16, 1 Kings 17, verse 8 to 16, the Bible tells us about the widow of Zarephath. She had only one meal left to prepare for herself and her son, and the two of them were going to commit suicide. We are not going to starve to death. They said they just wanted to eat a farewell meal. But God showed up. God will show up for someone today. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, there was the story of this widow of one of the sons of the prophets, heavily in debt. And the creditors came and said, we give you 24 hours. Pay our money or we sell your children. And that woman cried to the man of God for help. When the Bible says she cried, it meant she cried. It meant she prayed like warriors, not like a lady, not like a gentleman. And the Almighty God responded. Some miracles require only one day. Several years ago, there was a young man who was desperate for help. No money, nothing. And he had that, well, the Holy Ghost service is going to take place first Friday of the month. 46 kilometers from Lagos. He said, that's no problem. No money for transport. He said, I will trek. So he got up very early in the morning. He said, I'm going to the Almighty God. He just must solve my problem today. And he trekked 46 kilometers. He arrived just as we were beginning the program, completely tired, worn out, hungry, fainting. So people saw a young man fainting and they began to pour some water on him. And so finally they said, what's wrong with you? He told the story. And they told me. And I announced the story. That day, he got 6 job offers. I want you to stand on your feet. And please, I beg you, lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, before this time tomorrow, let me begin to share my testimony. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Before this time tomorrow, let me begin to share my testimony before this time tomorrow. Thank you, Father. Before this time tomorrow, let me begin to share my testimony. Before this time tomorrow. Before this time tomorrow, Almighty God, let me begin to share my testimony. One day, oh Lord, do it for me. Within 24 hours, Lord, let me already begin to share my testimony. Oh yes, Daddy, before this time tomorrow, let me begin to share my testimony. Let me begin to share my testimony. I know you can do it in one day. You can do it in one day. You don't have to wait a week, Lord. You don't have to wait a month. You don't have to wait a year. You can do it in one day. Before this time tomorrow, my Father and my God, let me begin to share my testimony. Let me begin to share my testimony. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, glory be to your holy name. Ramoko Shinde, Kapentu Rundramoko Shiki Ramakatanda. Before this time tomorrow, let me begin to share my testimony. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. This is the last point. And I won't beg you to pray this last one. You pray if you want. You don't pray, it's up to you. Some miracles can happen now. See, some miracles cannot even afford to wait for a day. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 to 51, excuse me. Oh, okay. Now, the following people should listen. Everybody, please listen carefully. Don't stand yet. Wait till I say stand. But if you are in one of these categories, the Almighty God, who knows all things, wants to come to the aid of some people. Some of them have problems that they can't even discuss with their pastor. The first in that group, Almighty God said that you regularly have been having some dreams recently, and everywhere you look are birds, black, big birds. I'm sure you yourself, you know what that means. I'm not supposed to say more than that. In the second group of people, said, there's this fellow here. When your mother died, you thought that, at long last, I'm free. But then you discover that from the moment they buried her, you have been attending meetings in the night with old women, sharing meat. You don't have to be a prophet to know what that means. And then he said there is someone here too. He said, you planned the death of your partner, your business partner, so that you can take over the company completely. Now, in your own case, he asked me to tell you, if you had not come here tonight, you would have died before December. But because you prayed, the prayer you prayed, he wanted to settle the case. Then the last group that he mentioned, if he mentioned another before I finish, I'll let you know. You'll be having this dream, and in the dream, you have been attacked by wild dogs. They're coming from right, coming from left, and they are very ferocious, wanting to tear you down. He wants to deal with those dogs. So I'm begging those of you in these four categories. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I'm going to ask everybody, please bow your head, close your eyes. So we don't want to embarrass anyone. If you are in any of these four categories, just stand where you are. I'm going to pray that the Almighty God will intervene in your situation. You know that you have never told anyone these things. So the only way I could have known is because God revealed it to me. So stand very quickly. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. No. Just stand. Just stand. Okay. Okay. I'm going to count from 1 to 4. If you are not standing, by the time I say 4, I know you are not standing. I can see dozens of people already. But I will count 1 to 4 to encourage the rest of you. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Father, I just want to thank you. Because you are the only one. Oh. Thank you. Father says there's a fifth group of persons. And they are women, and he said that there's a woman here who was responsible for the death of the firstborn of the new husband. I asked me to tell you, stand quickly, otherwise all your boys will also die. So if you are the one, please, very quickly, I will count from 1 to 4 again. Please quickly stand. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. 1. Okay. Okay. Okay, I pray now. My Father, my God, I just want to bless your holy name. I want to thank you for knowing what nobody knows. I want to thank you for revealing these things so that you can show mercy. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Please be merciful unto this, your children. Since it has pleased you to point out these problems, solve the problem today. Forgive their sins. Get them out of these evil societies. And Lord God Almighty, everything that could link any of these your children to the devil and to death, cancel it right now. Amen. Thank you, my Father and my God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Please, you may be seated. God bless you. Thank you. All right. Now, I think we should give the Lord a big round of applause for that. Amen. You know, we are so used to miracles in the Redeemed Christian Church of God that many a times we want to take them for granted. Miracles require the special intervention of God. What you have just witnessed is a very, very special miracle. Let's give the Lord a big round of applause. Let's bless His holy name. Okay, amen. Now, some miracles must happen now. When David came face to face with Goliath, in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 to 51, there is no time to go back and get another stone if the first one missed. That first stone must hit home, or else David will be dead. In John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, John 2, verse 1 to 11, in the wedding of Cana of Galilee, the wedding was already on when they ran out of wine. If the miracle didn't happen immediately, the damage would have been done forever. There are some miracles that cannot wait. In Matthew 14, verse 23 to 32, Matthew 14, 23 to 32, when Peter saw Jesus walking on water and said, if you are the one, ask me to come. And the Lord said, come. And he jumped out of the boat and he began to walk towards Jesus. And then suddenly he began to sink. if he had said, God, you can rescue me when you like, you know what would have happened? As a matter of fact, there was no time to pray the Lord's Prayer. If he had been saying, Lord, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, before he finished, he would be probably completely drowned. He could only shout, help. And the help came immediately. You've heard the story before. I will just tell you that, and then we will pray. I told you the stories about myself. We were traveling, my driver and I, going from Ibadan to Ilorin. And we had to pass through a particular portion where there was a very narrow bridge. So narrow you cannot take two vehicles at a time. So that once you see another vehicle on the bridge before you wait. And so in this case, we were already on the bridge. We were already in the middle of the bridge. And then a trailer was coming from the other side. Whether he didn't see us or his brake failed, we never found out. He just kept on coming. And the bridge was over a very deep river. And the bridge cannot take two vehicles. There was no time to pray. There was only time to shout one name. Let me hear you shout the name. We met in the middle of the bridge and we passed. The trailer passed, we passed. We got to the other side of the bridge. My driver parked because it was badly shaking. I mean, it was shaking like a banana leaf. Fortunately, he didn't look behind because I was shaking more violently than himself. But I was able to recover before himself. So by the time he recovered, I said, "Daddy, what happened?" I said, "God expanded the bridge." And he said, "Wonderful." And for the rest of the journey, he just kept on saying, "Wonderful." I said, "That's his name. His name is Wonderful." But that was a miracle that must be now. So I want you to stand on your feet. And this time, whether if you want to pray, pray. If you don't want to, close your mouth. But if I were you, I would lift up my voice and say, "Father, settle my case now." Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. "Settle my case now. Settle my case now." Almighty God, settle my case now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next month. Not next year. Settle my case now. Now, Almighty. Settle my case now. Almighty God, settle my case now. Right now, this very moment, settle my case now. Settle my case now. Settle my case now. Before it is too late, settle my case now, now, now. This very moment, Lord. Settle my case now. Settle my case now. Yes, Lord, settle my case now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Please join your hands together. We're going to pray one more prayer. Again, you are going to pray for your neighbor. I say, "Father," loud and clear, "Father, before my neighbor gets out of here, settle his case." Go ahead, talk to the Lord. "Before my neighbor gets out of here, Almighty God, settle his case, settle her case. Before he or she gets out of here, settle the case." Settle the case. Settle the case. Settle the case. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Almighty. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Now the one who made heaven and earth, the one who controls times and seasons, we settle your case now. I say it again. The one who said, let there be light, and there was light immediately, we settle your case now. He will settle your case now. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, give the Lord a big round of applause. Amen. Now, I was going to say that I'm going to sit down, we'll take some testimonies and give thanks to God, which of course we will do, and then come back and pray. But Daddy asked me to tell you to do something. Are you ready to do it? No matter how foolish it sounds, are you ready? Our Father asked me to tell you to laugh. I ask you to laugh. I ask me to tell every one of you that better days are ahead. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Please you may be seated. Let's shout hallelujah. Would the following people please come to share the testimonies with us this morning? Esther Ojuko, Adewale Temitope, Ademola Fakunda, Dr. Grace McCauley, Beatrice Olatubosun, Oluwale Orenuga, Sarah Olaoye, Faith Onyeka, Timi Shoneye, Olubisi Akinyinka. We'll start with those ones. God has been very good and we have excellent testimonies. Please come quickly and share your testimonies with us. I repeat, Esther Ojuko, Adewale Temitope, Ademola Fakunda, Dr. Grace McCauley, Beatrice Olatubosun, Oluwale Orenuga, Sarah Olaoye, Faith Onyeka, Timi Shoneye, Olubisi Akinyinka. Will we have the next testifier shout hallelujah? While they're coming, I read one to you. A friend was meant to help me with a piece of document I required to obtain my residence permit. The month I needed the document, the friend declined and told me boldly, I will never help you. Then I turned to God, who is the helper of the helpless. That month, during the November Holy Ghost service, God spoke to Daddy Gio saying, though they have said there will be no way for you, I will make a way. I knew that was for me. I held on to it. The same month, God sent help, and now I have my resident permit and my applications have been successful. Please shout hallelujah with me. From Babatunde Alegbe. While they're coming, I share more with you. Want to thank God for Mr. and Mrs. Faleto. Give birth to Ezeba Ireto Miwa Anuluwako on 8th of February 2014. 6 weeks after she was diagnosed of a liver disease. She had her first operation when she was 7 weeks in April 2014. Unfortunately, the operation failed, and by August 2014, she was placed on liver transplant list. Doctors and surgeons in Sims College Hospital called her a miracle because they never believed that a liver transplant would succeed. Ezeba is now eating well, walking about to start nursery. To God be the glory. Praise be to God. The story is that they wrote to Daddy for prayer last year, April, and Daddy prayed for them and God gave them a miracle. Please shout hallelujah. Please, Beatrice, would you come? And after that, Pastor Bill Shegun, please.
Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. On the 10th of June this year, I turned 50. And shortly after my birthday, I had some pains on my lower abdomen. To cut the long story short, they did an x-ray and they discovered that I had some stones on my gallbladder. Anyway, the pain intensified, and one day the surgeon rang. I was on the NHS waiting list, and then the surgeon rang. He told the secretary to ring me and moved me out of the NHS list and put me on outsourced me and put me on a private list to have it done in the hospital. After when I woke up, it was a 2-hour operation. I found out I wasn't just two stones. There were so many, enough to form a baby rattle. I just want to thank God for preserving my life. The book of Lamentations 3:22 says, "It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. He says his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." I want to thank God for preserving my life. Thank you. Thank you, Almighty God. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And she's the pastor of RCCG in Woking. Let's shout hallelujah with her. Pastor Bill Shegu, please. Please, let's make him welcome.
Praise the Lord. Exactly this time last year, I had some stomach pains, and we went to the doctors. They did an ultrasound in the area of my gallbladder, and they concluded that I had cancer. And I said, what? Cancer? Anyway, there began the problem. So that, as I said, exactly last year, Daddy and Mommy were around for the Festival of Life. So we went to them, explained to them, and he prayed for me. And he told me, I shouldn't worry. The Lord is in control. I should keep on walking, you know, and that's what we did. By December, I had to go through the first surgery, which was laparoscopy, whereby they looked at it to see whether they could remove the gallbladder, but they found out that they couldn't remove it through keyhole surgery, and that they had to do an open surgery. And on the 29th of December, I went into hospital, and on the 30th, the operation was actually done. before then, at the Festival of Life in October, as Daddy was actually preaching, the Lord spoke through him and said, there's somebody here. He said, that storm has been downgraded. So my wife and I, we held on to that. You know, but at the on the 30th of December, the six-hour operation took place, and the gallbladder was removed. And January, I was recovering, and then to the glory of God, I was strong again, and they gave us another appointment to come and hear the result of whether indeed it was cancer or not. And my wife and I, we went back, and they gave us the good news and said that what they thought was cancer was not cancer, that it was just a growth in the gallbladder. And since the gallbladder has been removed, I was given the all clear. I give all the glory to the Almighty God, and I thank our daddy and mommy for their support and their prayers. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am.
God bless you. Let's celebrate Jesus. Come on. Our regional pastors from Northern Ireland. Praise be to God.
Good evening, everyone. I just want to give thanks to God on behalf of my mom. My name is Esther Ojukwu. I want to give thanks to God on behalf of my mom. During the FOL April, my mom was actually in coma while I was ministering on the stage here. What happened to her was, I'll just pray for it quickly. She just started complaining of stomach ache. From that, it resulted into bowel obstruction. From that, it resulted into a stroke. And then the doctor said if we had not brought her in quickly, she had 5 minutes to die. When we took her to the hospital, it was a Monday before the Festival of Life. I remember that the doctor said to me that you need to sign some things before we take her into the theater because she actually has an hour to leave. And they were quite scared that she might not come out again alive. But I want to give thanks to God that while I was ministering here, I had my phone with me with the support of the pastors and everyone. I was quite worried, but I just kept on praying to God. And during the by the end of the program, Daddy Gio said we should raise up anything that we have. And I had my blazer on me that day. I went back to the hospital. I laid it on her. And I remember one of the doctors said to me, I think you guys are Christians because I noticed you've been coming to pray. Go and pray on whatever you believe in. So I went there and I laid the jacket on my mom as well as pastors and everyone praying for me. But to the glory of God, my mom woke up on Monday and then she was able, they said to me that even if she wakes up, she might not be able to speak or do anything again or remember anything. As I'm speaking to you right now, she remembers everything. She's awake again and she can speak and she can talk. All the glory to God. Amen.
Come on, shout hallelujah. Praise be to God. What a mighty God we serve.
My name is Biodun Ajayi. My nephew is Timmy Shone. Timmy's mom was here at the last FOL. Concerning Timmy. Timmy was in coma for 5 days. Timmy had 2 open heart surgeries. Timmy had his heart stopped. But now Timmy is well. Daddy said that Timmy will be the first person to come and testify at this FOL. And Timmy is here, hale and hearty. Although his heart is still not working 100%, but I believe that the God that has started the work in him will finish and perfect it in the mighty name of Jesus.
God has saved me alive in Jesus' name.
Amen. Come on, let's celebrate God for Timmy. Hallelujah.
My name is Pastor B.C. Akenyenka. I just want to bless the name of the Lord that I'm here today because I was at the first Festival of Life and I sat down there to be here for this, for today. Because early this year in Nigeria, some of our pastors came for burial of their parents. And I was going to go there, from there go to the Holy Ghost service of June. On the way, we attacked by armed robbers. They stopped us on the way, 7 armed robbers. And it was so terrifying. We came out of the car, and all I could do was just to be calling on the name of Jesus. I was just saying, Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And they kept saying to me, shut up, you keep calling Jesus, you keep calling Jesus, just keep quiet. At that time, I realized that it was the name I was calling that was challenging them. So I started calling. At a time, I just got lost in worship while the armed robbers were. They searched everything, took everything. But I was concentrating on just them not shooting. So I was rolling on the floor. They didn't ask us to roll on the floor, but I was just there worshiping. I forgot myself there. The next was conscious. Then when they finished, we had two cars. When they finished, one of them said to the boss, he said, "Can we shoot them?" And the boss said emphatically, said no, and they just disappeared into the bush. I just want to bless the name of the Lord that I'm here today to testify to the name of Jesus, because that name alone did wonders at that time. I couldn't attend the Holy Ghost night. I had to go back to Ibadan because we had no cobble on us. They took everything, but we came out alive and well. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord for preservation of life. Amen.
My name is Sarah Olawuyi. I made a vow that if God can put barrenness to shame in the life of my daughter, I will come and testify. I thank God Almighty that I put the Satan to shame, and my daughter is blessed with two children, a boy and a girl.
Come on, let's shout hallelujah and give praise to God. God put barrenness to shame. Hallelujah.
My name is Faith Onyeka. In 2008, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And when they started the treatment, they gave me the wrong chemo. They gave me the wrong dosage. And it was supposed to stop my organs and everything. And I had it for 6 months. And I'm still standing. And then they said they found the cancer again. And they told me to go and settle everything. But to God be the glory, now they say they can't find it again. And I just want to give God all the glory. I thank God for a new chest. I thank God for a new bladder. And in February, my daughter was run over on a zebra crossing. She was just behind the pathway to our house. And the air ambulance was already up there because she was completely out. And after about 10 minutes, she came round. A neighbor found her, came to come and tell us. God just sent help for her that night. A woman had to park her car across the road so that the other cars would not, you know, go over her. She had a fractured pelvis. She fractured 2 vertebrae in her spine. She had bruised lungs and head injury. And then after the accident, she kept having headaches, and they said she was in her final year of A-levels. The neurologist said, don't bother about it, just defy it. But to God be the glory, she said, Mom, Dad, I want to do it. And God helped her. She came out with A's in her exams. She's in the best university in London, in the United Kingdom, studying political science and international relations. I just want to thank God.
Come on, let's give praise to God for deliverance, protection from death, and victory in examination. Our God is good.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. My name is Grace McCauley. I promise God I will give this testimony. It's coming 20 years. I came to this country in 1995, and to God be the glory, great things he had done. I came with £10 and nothing in my hand. I came as a senior doctor, but I couldn't get anything. Today, I have a husband who is celebrating his birthday today. I have children who has graduated from university. I'm going to university. I have finished a successful career in the hospital without doing PLAP. And I'm working in the pharmaceutical industry. To God indeed be the glory. Twice within 12 years, my husband was sent to a cancer center, to Royal Marsden, with diagnosis of suspected cancer. Twice, they came back, and that was my specialty. They came back to say the growth had no cancer. Twice we've been there. I just want to give God all the glory for his love, for his faithfulness over the past 20 years. I came to First Everwell with nothing, and I am now sorted. To God indeed be the glory.
Praise God for total turnaround.
Good evening. My name is Ademola Fakbunda. I'm from Redeemed Christian Church of God, our Savior's Parish, Norton-on-Tees. August 2015, I was diagnosed with cancer. It was the final stage cancer. And I was told it's going to be palliative, and that was the best they could do. I just want to thank God for Redeemed Christian Church of God. I want to thank God because Redeemed Christian Church of God stood by me. My family stood by me. The Redeemed Christian Church of God stood on the Word of God. I've been through chemo. I've been through radiotherapy. I've been through surgery. I've been through post-surgery chemo. I'm standing today by the grace of God. I'm standing today because of His love. And I want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank God for healing from cancer, stage 4 cancer. Praise be to God. If Mrs. Ekweyong is here, please make your way. Anthony Oshinowo, make your way.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Adewale Timitope. I'm standing here giving glory to God after a few years of waiting and praying to God and saying, God, when would this happen? In 2014, October, we came and my wife and I prayed, and that same month, she got pregnant. When we gave birth to her in July, and 3 months later, we were here for the FOL. But I prayed to God and said, God, this testimony must be complete. To God be the glory. She's a year and 3 months now. And what I prayed for, the moment I stepped in here, everything has been answered. Glory be to God. God settled me. He gave me a good home. And things have turned around for me. Hallelujah.
Come on, let's appreciate God for fruit of the womb and prayers answered at Festival of Life. Glory be to God. Please clap for them as they come.
My name is Oluwale Orenuga. We give this testimony to the glory of the Almighty God. Myself and my wife attended Festival of Life in October 2015, and our daddy said we should ask God for a Christmas present. We asked God for a child on that day, and on the 25th of December in the morning, Christmas Day, around 4 a.m., my wife discovered that she was pregnant. She was a few weeks pregnant. And on 3rd of September, God gave us Samuel Oluwase Ifunmi Orenuga. Glory be to God.
Come on, let somebody shout hallelujah. Pastor Adar Alegbe, if we have time to take some more, Shegu Alegbe also. Mr. and Mrs. Emmanuel, where are you? Please come. Praise be to God. Please, if you have testimonies from tonight, we want to take your testimonies also. You may please come to the right side of the altar at this time. We still want to take your testimonies and publish in our testimony book. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's put hands together and shout loud hallelujah.
Thank you. Oh, let somebody shout hallelujah. You see, when you are listening to testimonies, what you should be thinking about is, suppose this fellow is my brother. Suppose she's my sister. Because when you see a young man trying to give his testimony and he's crying, that alone tells you something. Maybe this is somebody who's been through hell and high waters and is still standing. I don't know. I mean, when somebody is sick, they say, all right, they say, okay, well, this fellow has cancer. Under normal circumstances, that's supposed to be like a death sentence. And then where do you go? The fellow went to the hospital and then they gave the wrong drugs and kept giving it for 6 months. And yes, he survived. And nobody seemed to be... Okay. The Lord will forgive. Now, I believe it is time to say thank you to God. And I was discussing with Pastor Doc. I said, you can go ahead and do that. But he wants me to come. But I was arguing with him because I want him to come. And as we were talking, suddenly I heard from God. And he asked you to do something again. And I hope you will do it this time. Are you sure? He asked me to tell you to shout the biggest hallelujah you have ever shouted. Thank you. Amen. 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 And he asked me to tell you the reason he asked you to shout is because all the blessings he had stored up for you will begin to be released from tonight. So maybe you better shout another hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So I think there's no need to appeal to anybody to be grateful. I think you just do as you are led by your spirit. But tonight, I'm going to thank God like I've not done before. So you can sit down, get your Thanksgiving offering ready, and I'm going to ask the choir that they please give us quality time to really praise God tonight. Let's show him we appreciate him. So you can be seated. While if you need an envelope, you wave your hand. I need an envelope and my Bible. My Bible. You know, once upon a time I went to a nation for a Holy Ghost service. And I preached for almost 2 hours. And there was not a single word of knowledge from God. Not a single, there is someone here, throughout the 2 hours. At the end, one elderly man there came and said, our sin here must be much. In 2 hours, not a word. And of course, we can't manufacture it if he didn't speak. Of course, we taught the Bible, but that man says there must be something wrong with us. But have you noticed how many times God has spoken tonight? Have you noticed? I think the Lord has been very, very faithful. Let me hear somebody shout another hallelujah.
Lord, you are so good.
not going to stop your praise. I want you to sing more and rejoice more. But I don't know what God really wants to do for me. Again, I was sitting down there thinking I will come and ask you to ask God for an anniversary present. But the Lord spoke to me and said, why do you want to limit me? And I want you to listen very carefully. The Lord wants you to ask for 20 major miracles between now and a year's time. And please, as they begin to occur, note them down. So I give you 1 minute to do that. I'll pray for you, and then we'll dance a little more. And definitely, this will be a night we will never forget. So please, musician, just get set. We're going to sing more, but for just 2 minutes. If you can't think of what, just say, Lord, give me 20 miracles. 20 miracles. You decide, Lord, decide for me. 20 major miracles between now and this time next year. 20 major miracles as my 20th anniversary gifts. 20. 20 that everybody will hear and say, no, this can only be God. This can only be God. This can only be God. 20 mighty miracles that will shake the ground. The people will hear about it and give glory to the one who controls times and seasons, the one who is the Almighty, the one who is the all-sufficient God. 20 miracles, Lord. In ascending order of glory, of majesty, of greatness, 20, Lord, beginning from now. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Father, since I've spoken in your name, I call it done. Without exception, everyone here, Lord, give them at least 20 miracles each. And let the miracles begin right now. Thank you, Almighty God. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah.
Are you ready for the most anticipated event of the year? A gathering of worshippers and saints from around the globe, coming together with one heart and with one voice to seek the face of the Lord. The Festival of Life Middle East 2016 is here again, live in the United Arab Emirates, with the theme, Right Hand of Power. Date is Friday, October 28, 2016. Ministering Pastor E.A. Adeboye, General Overseer, the Redeemed Christian Church of God, and other anointed ministers of the gospel. Venue is the Sheikh Hamdan Sports Complex, Dubai. Transportation will be available at designated points across the UAE to this venue. Get ready for an unprecedented experience of worship and praise featuring Nathaniel Bassi, Gabriel Isiashi, Funke Akiokun, Tosin B, Michael Akimbala, and other anointed gospel music artists. There is about to be a shift.
Let somebody shout hallelujah.
Visit festivaloflifemiddleeast.org to register for free now and share our social media updates with your friends and family. Jesus is Lord.